So I'm recording now, and this is lovely Mike Hartland from, well, we're in Liskeard.
We are indeed.
Take it away.
Many years ago in Seaton and Down Derry, when Down Derry, which is now considered to be a posh place, it used to be a farmhouse and a Coast Guard cottage. At that time, Seaton, its neighbour, was a fishing port and a town bigger than Plymouth, as seen on the old Cornish maps. And the fishermen down there, one of the fishermen had a girlfriend who happened to be a mermaid. And he decided one day that he wasn't getting his chips properly, so he finished with her. So she, in her wisdom, conjured up a big storm, which we get in season probably two or three times a year now, in the winter months. And the storm washed out the town this season, destroyed all the houses, or most of them anyway. So Seaton then became more like a village. But eventually they rebuilt some houses, but the port silted up over the years after that, because the mermaid conjured up these storms every year in the winter time. So it's a very difficult thing to do. And that is the legend of the mermaid of Seaton. And there are written records of it in various places, which you've already seen the paperwork for. And yeah, so we used to do a couple of things in the villages called Dauncey Day, Down Derry and Seaton Day. And in Down Derry, we would dance, or get the school children to dance, the Down Derry Ferry Dance. And in Seaton, we would come down and do the Seaton Ferry Dance. And on the beach, there would then be a battle against I'm trying to remember the proper words now. Morgour, the sea monster, yep. And Saint somebody or other, I can't remember the saint's name. It's a local one in Seaton and Downderry, local saint's name. And they would have a fight on the beach. And that used to do that, but they haven't done that for several years now. But yeah, so Seaton's got a lot of history behind it. When you consider it was originally only a village and then became a town and a fishing port. And the river's now silted up, so the fishing port is no longer. If you go down in the ground and try and find the bottom, you go down at least 120 feet before you find where the bottom is. And the Seaton River used to be navigable up between Seaton and Trebrownbridge. And there is a story that in the old days, when the big three-masted sailing boats would come into Loo, they would offload their stuff into barges, big barges in Loo, go up the East Loo River to Moore's Water at Liskeard, where we are now. And these barges had four big wheels, cast wheels, one on each corner. They'd wheel them over the hill, wheel them off the river at the Moore's Water Canal up a slope after they'd been emptied, and then wheel them over the hill down to Brownbridge, which is where Castle Motors is, and Castle Air is now, into the Seaton River and down back to the mouth of Seaton, where they'd be then taken back or rowed back over to Loo, filled up again and do a big circuit.
Lord, I never knew that.
You never knew that?
Lord,
well, you're not from Seaton, are you?
Exactly. That's stone made. Oh, Mike, that's absolutely wonderful. Thank you so much.
Yeah, you did a lot of work in Robinhood Bay. That was a massive smuggling team.
Yeah.
What was the smuggling in Corsan, Mike?
In the 1950s, the Breton fishermen would come across and they'd sit outside between Ramehead and Penley Point, and they'd send one fishing boat around Ramehead up the eastern channel of the breakwater. The customs vessel would come out, escort them into Plymouth, then the other six boats would sneak around Penley Point into Corsand, offload all the goods which they were smuggling, and because I could speak French, I did the translation for the bartering. So I earned money. There's another story about Mount Edgecombe. Before I'd joined the army, I decided I didn't want to be a farmer. And I did a year's work on the home farm of the Mount Edgecombe estate. And every now and again, in the tennis courts down near Cremel, the big tennis courts, we'd get a deer caught inside there. So we would go in under instruction from the farmer. The deer would be killed, taken back up to the farm, hung to bleed, you know, as they did in those days. And then it would have to be cut up by a local butcher. And so the local lord in Mount Edgecombe Estate would get a leg, the local bobby would get a leg, you know, everybody of any importance would get a cutting off this off the deer. If you like venison.
Oh, that's amazing. Thank you so much.